Two abandoned copper mines are left in Vermont. After sitting mostly untouched for nearly a century, they've finally been slated for cleanup by the federal government. When those projects are finished, it will close a long but largely forgotten history of copper mining in the state. Vermont Public's Lexi Krupp has more on a chapter of Vermont's industrial past that stretched from the mid-1800s through the 1950s.
About a mile past the general store in West Fairly is a nondescript stretch of woods. There, a dirt road leads up a forested hillside.
If you drive along that road now, you'd never know that there was anything there. Now, in the woods, there's remnants of the foundations of houses, but otherwise you wouldn't know.
Susan Bebo lives a couple miles away. She started looking into this history when she bought her house in 1989. She got really into it. Eventually, she got a master's degree at Dartmouth about the mine. And she says in this spot, there was a whole village. Two churches, two drugstores, a hardware store. There was a doctor's office, a post office, and a jeweler. A butcher, a bank, a barber shop, and a candy store.
They even had a big building that held an auditorium, and they would bring in entertainers. I mean, this was a boom town that went bust.
In the late 1800s, the Ely Copper Mine employed nearly 900 people here. Kids as young as 10 would go to work in the mines during the day, then attend school at night in a two-story schoolhouse. The mine here was one of several copper mines along a 30-mile stretch of Vermont's Orange County. Nearly 150 million pounds of copper were pulled out of these hills over the course of a century. Most of that labor was done by immigrants. That's according to census records from the 18 and early 1900s.
They all came over because the mines that they had been working in Cornwall and Wales started to fail. And so they had to continue to migrate to where mines were prosperous.
One of those workers was Pearly Magoon. His family migrated from Scotland. He worked at a mine in Corinth in the early 1900s. Here's his grandson, Gary.
He did something with the horses. Apparently had to haul the ore carts out of the mine. There was a place where the horses would stay, and they'd actually walk in and walk out of a place there at the entrance to the mine.
Mining was dangerous, dirty work. Men labored in 10 or 12-hour shifts, 24 hours a day. Miners worked by lamplight, blasting rock hundreds of feet underground. Susan says several died in cave-ins and from other accidents.
They worked on a buddy system, and so they had to have each other's back. You weren't allowed down there just by yourself because it was just too dangerous.
Above ground, workers operated heavy machinery to crush the rock. Others fed the mineral into massive coal-fired furnaces to extract the copper. The stench was awful. Fumes that smelled of sulfur were said to be suffocating at times. The smoke killed nearly all the plants for a mile around. And after several decades of boom times, activity at the mine slowed. Copper prices fell, and new, more productive mines opened further west. In the 1880s, the Ely mine couldn't pay their workers, so they went on strike and threatened to ransack the town. It was a big deal. Vermont's governor called in the National Guard.
They were afraid it was going to erupt in all kinds of violence and destruction of property, and that never happened. Instead, they all got drunk.
In the years after, mining activity in the area continued in fits and starts, but nowhere near at the scale it once was. That's until the 1940s, when World War II spurred more demand for copper. A mine in Stratford, the Elizabeth Mine, reopened for several years. Susan spoke with several of the men who worked there, including Frank Godfrey of Fairly.
I worked underground. We walked in from outside. I'd be 200 feet in a tunnel, and we got on a skip, they used to call it, six or seven men on one dime, and we dropped the...
That recording is from 2010. Frank and all the workers Susan interviewed have since died. And most of the other miners who came before them had left Orange County decades before. Many moved west, to mines in Colorado and California. Some went as far as Mexico and South Africa. For others, though, it's hard to know what happened. It's almost like they were never here.
It's sad, which is probably one of the reasons why I was so intent on getting the story out, because I just wanted to make everybody aware of that this existed and that these people existed here.
All that's left of the copper mines now are the old crumbling shafts hidden in the woods and the mining waste, huge mounds of toxic orange dirt the EPA has promised to clean up. Those finally could be gone as soon as the end of the decade. For Vermont Public, I'm Lexi Krupp.